Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Couple run plays that I've hit.
Good movement. Look out. Get out of here.
Fans love it. They love
there
it.
There he goes. Just...
Uh-oh, everybody. Do we have a quarterback controversy in New England? Where were you on the night the legend of Bazooka Joe, Joe Milton III, was born? As somebody who grew up on the South Shore, I never used to think much of when I would get on 93 and head into the city and pass by the sign entering Milton. But if you were excited to see Jacoby Brissett and Gerard Mayo take the field, new coach, returning veteran quarterback, if you were excited for the debut of Drake May, the third overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, I understand. And you know what? They were fine. They just went out there. They did what they did. The defense looks good. The Patriots are now not officially the worst team in the NFL. They are the 31st worst team, or at least they're not at the bottom, because the Carolina Panthers absolutely stink. They stink like picnic trash. Raccoons would possibly turn their nose up at the Carolina Panthers. Of course, Bryce Young didn't start tonight. That's fine. Be that as it may. But I'll tell you, the best juice I have felt in this building in a long time, and no, I'm not trying to stir up controversy, and no, I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. We're just having a little fun on what was an overcast, dreary, dismal, rainy night for approximately 30-ish thousand fans, and I might be generous by a couple thousand there as well, but how can you blame them? The most electricity in the building tonight for the first pretend season game with the weird new kickoff rule and all. Down at Gillette Stadium earlier tonight, the most exciting moments were delivered by the one and only Joe Milton III. He can scramble, he can scoot, he can move, he can throw, he can run, he can gun. It's a nice little backup quarterback prospect they have there. Sure, people are going to talk about, here comes the problem, here comes Joe Milton, how don't you start him, why doesn't this happen? You know what's going to happen, and we'll be taking your calls all night up until 12 p.m. here on the Six Rings Postgame Show with your pals Fitzy and Hart, 617-779-7937. We will break down each and every element of tonight's preseason debut. Looks like it is to be a win For Jerod Mayo in his coaching debut, once again, it doesn't count, but his first preseason game as HC of the NEP looks to have gone better than expected. Your final from the Razor, 17-3, New England Patriots. As far as the game went, sure, only four or five highlights, four or five signature plays, four or five things that you're going to see pop up on the gram that you're going to want to quote tweet or comment on later on. It's the nice pass from Bailey Zappe, who got a lot of run tonight. Might that be his last run as a quarterback of the Patriots? May you see more Brissett. May you see more May next week. May you see more Joe Milton. Perhaps that's the case, and maybe Bailey Zappe got his farewell tonight with almost three quarters of action. Could be his swan song under center for the Patriots. You got a great scramble and run from Joe Milton. You got a nice touchdown pass from Joe Milton as well. You got a nice run by Terrell Jennings. And Joey Sly, the backup kicker, or the kicker that is competing right now with Chad Ryland for the starting kicking job on the Patriots. And, you know, Ryland's in the lead because he's the incumbent. It's hard to spend a fourth-round draft pick on a kicker 1 year and then kick him off the squad for a veteran that's been on at least three to four teams previously. Final score now, once again, it's going official. 17-3 Patriots in preseason game number one. Nice long field goal for Joey Sly as well tonight. Not a night full of highlights. Drake May looked fine-ish. Jacoby Brissett underthrew, I believe it was, Tyquan Thornton on a deep ball early in the first quarter as well. Again, the conditions were a little sloppy. The ball was kind of wet. People were having grip issues, both throwing the ball and receiving the ball. But he underthrew Tyquan Thornton on what would have easily been the signature play for Tyquan Thornton's career. Now, this is his third year in the NFL, hopefully his third year with the New England Patriots, if he is, in fact, able to stick with the Pats. He had about three, four steps on someone in the first quarter against Carolina, and unfortunately, Jacoby Brissett underthrew him. You know, Drake May went out there tonight. Ball was a little slippery. Real NFL game action. You know, first and second unit players for the Carolina Panthers. Again, as aforementioned, not exactly a great football team. I can't imagine that they're going to make significant strides and major improvements under first-year head coach Dave Canales, the former offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's all right. They are who we thought they were. Not a very good football team. The Patriots are not a very good football team yet either. That's okay. But you had to go into tonight. You had to come into this game tonight as a fan, whatever hat you chose to wear coming into the game. You had to come into it just hoping you could see, all right, Drake, hey, I saw Drake May under center. Hey, he got his first walkout. That was cool. You'd want to see a little something from Joe Milton to think, hey, that's awesome. Hey, we got a fun little backup. We may have a fun little project to develop here because Jacoby Brissett likely not to be here after the 2024 season as well. You wanted to see the rookie receivers. Javon Baker got a catch. Jalen Polk, great contested catch himself, I believe, in the third quarter as well. Ramondre got a nice run earlier. Didn't necessarily have a lot of sacks or major protection issues. The defense looks stout. And, of course, this is a defense that is currently, I'm not sure, is it with or without the services of Matthew Judon? Judon was out there sort of in hanging shells. He did not see the field tonight. There were plenty of people that are going to see significant action this year for the Patriots that were not out there tonight. Obviously, no Christian Barmore because he's dealing with the unfortunate blood clotting issue. We hope he gets well. No update yet as to when we're actually going to see him back on the football field. But the defense looked good. The offense made a couple of plays over the course of the night. They made no major mistakes. And the best thing, as we welcome in Andy Hart into the program now that the game has officially gone final, the best thing is, Andy, guess what? The Patriots didn't do anything tonight. No significant mistakes. The Patriots didn't do anything that made you say, oh, boy. And it may be a long season, Andy. Who knows? But more people, it is more probable than not, to use triggering New England exponent Deflategate talk, it is more probable than not that it might be a long season. That said, we were told collaborative environment. We were told some new vibes. And guess what? They didn't make a lot of mistakes out there tonight. They went out there, did their job, got the win. We saw a lot of good things from the team. I, right now, as fan and co-host of the program with you, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I think you should be happy for taking care of business. Now, I would push back on the mistakes. They were littered with penalties, just like we've seen all summer on the practice field. Delay a game, false start. Screwed everything up that you could screw up, making, you know, third and longs all over the field. But yeah, you played a horrific football team that played their backups,
yep,
and you took care of business. Like, I'm not going to criticize it. I mean, I think you'd be an a-hole to criticize that. And I thought they needed a win. I thought they wanted a win. Now, the Drake May thing is going to be the takeaway, the story of the game. You know, what the hell they're doing with QB reps and all of that. But guys competed from good players like Ramondre Stevenson. One run, 11 yards. I love it. If you average 11 yards a carry, this ground game is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
David Wallace, a guy who's kind of stunk on the practice field, makes a play in the punt return game. And as I joked in the story I posted on the website, like, we've seen unheralded receivers return punts in the preseason before and turn that into opportunities and careers. So I'm not saying, but I'm saying. And those guys happen to be.
Who would that be, Andy? Would that have been a would that have been a former quarterback out of Kent State?
Yeah, little white guys do that in the preseason, and then Welker goes, I don't care, he can have it. And Bill's like, I hate you, someday we're going
to
get rid of you.
Way to compete. I thought he said, way to compete, Welker.
Nope, but maybe nope, it was, I hate you, someday I'll get rid of you.
I must have seen a different cut of the NFL films than you did.
Yeah, it was the director's cut. It was Fellini cut. No!
Talk about the hard-o meter. All right, so
I liked it. And obviously,
goes, yep,
you people
please.
Are going to latch on to Joe Milton and have fun with that, as you should. You know, I don't know that we need to, you know, promote it any more than it's going to be, because I actually think Joe Milton is going to be a problem for Drake May. I really do.
Oh.
It's going to be a problem.
Oh. Wait, hold on. Nico, producer extraordinaire of tonight's Six Rings postgame show, please write down, it was 10-11 in the eve, a misty, sultry, dewy summer's eve after the Patriots took care of business against the Carolina Panthers, 17-3, your final from Gillette, Jerod Mayo's coaching debut. It was 10-11 p.m. when Andy Hart proclaimed, I think Joe Milton is going to be a problem for Drake May.
Yep.
Wow.
Copy that.
You people.
So it's my people.
Yeah. You people are going to latch on to him. And the first time Drake May has a little hiccup or doesn't develop the way you want or is scuffling, that other woman is just standing right over there. And that other woman is tall and athletic with a massive cannon of an arm. And you're going to all lust for that priest.
I'm so glad you finished that saying arm.
Yep. I was careful there. And you're going to just remember that preseason game, and he was running all over the field, and he was hitting, I don't know, who the hell did he hit? Jaquai Jackson?
Number 82 in the play in the program, number one in your hearts.
Yes, definitely number one in my heart, Jaquai Jackson, as I read you off the roster, because that's the only way I'll know your name. But no, this is, it's weird, because we started bitching about the quarterback play, because I thought Jacoby Brissett was kind of crappy in his one series.
Crappy?
Yeah, kind of.
He underthrew Tyquan Thornton by underthrew Tyquan Thornton by 10 yards when he was wide open. And what have we been saying? You told us a couple of last week on the Midday Show, you told me and Andy Gresh, take the cheese. It's officially now Tyquan Thornton season. I know I got fooled once. Shame on you. Fooled me twice. Shame on me. And that would have been the signature play to say, look, he can get open against mediocre coverage. He still has super fast speed. He's like A-Train from The Boys. Shout out Rich Keefe, who hopefully is listening in the car ride on the way home. And, you know, he underthrew it. Like, he was so unremarkable. He just looked fine. Granted, yes, I know it's like one or two series on a dismal rainy night with a half-full stadium in August. But that said, this is his ninth year in the NFL. Isn't he supposed to make those plays regardless of competition or attendance?
But it was raining. That's what people told me on Twitter that were defending him. I'm with you. If I'm Tyquan Thornton, I'm fighting for my professional life here. I'm fighting for my reputation. Yeah. I'm fighting snarks on the internet. That's a chance for me to have a big play in legit time. The first series of the game with the guy who's supposed to be the starting quarterback. I'm behind the defense.
Yep.
And you underthrow me by five. If anything, I also believe that old cliche, like, when you have speed burners, don't underthrow them. Overthrow them. Give them a chance to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make them stop because they're skinny. They're usually not the best at fighting for the ball. Let them just go out and get it. So, yeah, I thought Brissett was bad. I thought the decision to only go one series for May was bad, even though I thought he looked more than fine. Fine plus, as I've dubbed it, in his series.
Ooh,
then we're
fine
all
plus.
Bitching.
That's a new term. That's a great term.
Yeah, I made it up. That's my new term for Drake May. Fine plus. And, you know, then we all bitched for whatever it was, two-plus quarters. Bailey Zappi, why are we seeing him? Blah, blah, blah. If you're going to play him, maybe you should actually practice him. All the bitching that we did. And then I thought Joe Milton sort of saved the night at the quarterback position with just a fun performance. Fun preseason action. That's what we got.
Okay, so it was... Funny, there are a lot of parallels to last year, and I know we have to catch a commercial and do some trending sports news. Nico, do you have a little trending action ready momentarily?
Oh, yeah. We got tons to talk about.
I love that. So you know what's nice about Nico? Effortless. No, you don't have to worry about anything. Andy, just like, he takes care of it. Shame on me for even, I didn't doubt, I just had to ask just to make sure. But on a night, Andy, that was very reminiscent of last year's preseason debut. Like, there are so many strange parallels to it. Now, let's hope the season doesn't parallel last season, because, boy, that was a season and a half to forget. Felt like at least a season and a half. Last year, preseason debut number one, the only home game in the preseason last year, Andy, crud weather on a Thursday night, okay? Mm-hmm. We also had a quarterback in the fourth quarter stir up far from a controversy, but provide the only true electricity and excitement of the night. Last year was Malik Mania. I think he might now be the third-string quarterback in Baltimore. Maybe not. I haven't checked. Don't really care. And now we have Joe Milton. Joe Milton III entering. Milton comes in, rouses the fans, stirs up the pot, gives us a little excitement for the night as well. But you think it actually goes a little further, because last year there was truly no Malik Mania. Like, there was no Malik Cunningham controversy. It was just, oh, God, this season's going to suck. Give us something to be excited about. You actually think this could be an issue for Drake May, even though he was fine plus.
Have you been in the city of Boston before? Have you listened to sports talk radio in Boston? Have you been on Twitter before?
I've dabbled with it.
Okay, because all of those places, this is just fresh, raw meat named Milton. And we know as soon as you struggle, there is a guy that is perceived to be bigger, stronger armed. I like him more. He does backflips. Fans were in love with him already just because he could do backflips in training camp. He was popular.
Oh, he was the star.
So now you mix in a touchdown pass. Now you mix in a crazy highlight scramble, which he runs like 60 yards to get 13. And everybody knows him. Like, he came into the league with an aura. He's the only guy in yellow on the Giants draft board. Like, what does that mean? He's golden boy. He's the golden child. Like, I just think this is fodder for you people, and it doesn't mean it's smart or right, which, by the way, I'm also not saying he couldn't develop into a legit NFL quarterback. I don't rule that out. Mm-hmm. It would be impressive, because he's been at two schools, he's older, you know, it would sort of be like the year five jump in a way, but I just think he is going to present the alternative, and the cliche has always been, especially for losing teams, and as you said, this is probably going to be a losing team. If Drake May gets in there and they're losing games and Drake May is throwing interceptions, which rookie quarterbacks do, there's going to be a certain portion of the fan base that's calling for Joe Milton. I don't know how big you people and your group is, but they're going to be out there. I promise you they will be out there.
Okay, in the time that it took for the two of us to get the game, to get the post-game show going, I've already received texts from friends saying, I didn't expect to be feeling this way after the game, but I do. And Joe Milton has made it weird.
Oh, absolutely. So, I got texts from people that are older than me, professionals and coaches in the high school level, who are like icky balooky about Joe Milton. 11-7 with Milton. Move over, CJ Stroud. He's this year's Zappy. Like, and then I got my son, who was at the game. I've seen enough. Joe Milton is a franchise guy. Like, young and old, they're idiots galore tonight.
Well, I mean, weren't we all right, I'll just ask this question. Weren't we told Drake May was, and this all the way up to most recently, CJ Stroud was on a podcast saying Drake May, of all the rookie quarterbacks in the NFL this year, Drake May is the most pro ready. And yet recently we've come to, and that Joe Milton was supposed to be the long-term development chip. He was supposed to be the prospect in the project. And now tonight, granted, he's going against third stringers on what I think is the worst team in the NFL, not the Pats, but the Cats. Mm. He's going against third stringers, lights him up, runs around all over, regardless of what kind of defense he's playing against, his physical ability, his ability to improvise and scoot and scat and scamper all over the field is certainly impressive. He got more time in the field than Drake May did. So now tonight, Drake May looks like the project, and Joe Milton looks like the prospect.
Well, that's Drake weird. May didn't look like a project. I thought Drake May ran the operation just fine. He throws a nice screen pass. He hits Jalen Reagor in the hands on what should be a nice completion. Yep. He chooses not to catch it. He has a dump off. He went through his reads. I thought he was fine plus in the way he ran the offense. And people are just going to disregard the pick six that Joe Milton tried to throw that if an NFL corner was on the field, he would have been dancing in the end zone celebrating the touchdown thanks to Joe Milton.
Right. Well, there was that as well. So.
Oh, did you forget about that? Oh, that little silly play?
Got a lot of moving parts, Andy. You know,
I'd also say the scramble. Maybe he can't scramble quite as well if it's not, you know, fat guys that'll be at Sonny's Car Wash next week on the field and it's actual NFL defensive linemen and linebackers.
How could you?
Sonny's Car Wash. I stole Paul Perillo's line. Line?
Oh, I saw him earlier tonight when I was down at the stadium. He said hello, and by said hello, he flipped me off. So...
I believe that
he's already in midseason form, so it's good to know we're back. It's great to be back. We're happy to have you guys back with us here on the Six Rings postgame show. Jerod Mayo is currently speaking, doing his post game presser. We will effort some of that audio. We will try to play a portion, if not the totality, of Jerod Mayo's first postgame presser for you later. See if we can get you some other fresh audio as well. And of course, your calls here on the debut of season 3 of the Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI. The number, if you'd like to call in and join the Joe Milton Appreciation Society, talk about Drake May, talk about the defense, Joey Sly, the weather. You could be Andy's son driving home and talk to your dad and say, you know, Dad, hey, on the way home, could maybe pick me up a Joe Milton jersey, whatever works. We're at 617-779-7937. There's your telephone number. And here's your trending sports news with the one and only Nico.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Oh, nice look.
Bazooka Joe with the reset. 38-yard touchdown to Jackson. Gave him a little stutter on the outside. set. Let him slip up that left boundary. Take it from here. What are we going to look at? If we look at this replay here. Man.
From the television broadcast of tonight's Patriots preseason win, a dub in the debut of Jerod Mayo, who we will get to in just moments. That was Scott Zolak and the McCourty brothers, a broadcast that was unique, shall we say, Andy, in its formatting. We'll get to how we felt about the broadcast a little bit later, but that was their description of the touchdown pass that the now surging legend of Joe Milton threw to Jaquai Jackson, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. The group, Joe Milton, is now speaking. We'll try to get a little bit of that. Wow, fascinating. Joe Milton, first QB up at the podium after Jerod Mayo spoke. We'll get to that audio a little bit later. But, Andy, it was about a couple minutes worth of Jerod Mayo speaking and taking some questions from the media. He just wrapped up momentarily. We have that in its totality. Let us go to the audio tape in honor of the great Warner Wolf and play you what Jerod Mayo had to say after his first win as head coach of the Patriots.
Look, let's start off. I thought the guys went out there and competed, played hard. Definitely room for improvement. All week we've been talking about this game doesn't count, but it does matter. And it matters from an individual point of view and also from a team point of view. And, you know, all that matters really is the guys in those rooms. And it's not just me, it's we. And that's my message to the team.
Raise your hand. We'll pass mics to you. Start with Chris Price.
Jerod, can you walk us through the thought process behind using the quarterbacks in the way that you did tonight?
Yeah, we wanted to see Jacoby obviously go out there and operate, as well as Drake, you know, mixing them in there with the ones. The rest of those guys like Zappy and Joe, you know, they went out there and finished up the game, thought they did a good job, but that was kind of the thinking. So next week we go, we have the Eagles, so, you know, we'll do a lot, we'll practice against them, and, you know, who knows, the reps will probably change a little bit, and then we'll see what happens in the game, but that was the thought process. Take care.
In the middle?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you can,
fine.
Jerod, you mentioned getting Drake into the game. What went into the decision to pull him after one series tonight?
Yeah, that was always the plan. The plan was to get him in there for one series, to get Jacoby in there for one series, and then really, you know, it turned into the Zappy show and then the Joe show. That was the plan going in.
Hi, Jerod. Was there any trepidation over having Drake in another series perform in front of with his, like, the second offensive line? Was that part of the decision? Or
That's always a consideration. You know, if he's in there, you want him in there with the starting offensive line. We got to protect that guy. Not saying we don't have to protect the other guys, but that absolutely did go into it.
And do you feel you're going to get enough of seeing him in live action, going about it like this?
Yeah, like I said, this is the first preseason game. We still have two left. He'll have plenty of opportunities to go against other teams, you know, the two other teams before the regular season.
Jerod, are you – just your thoughts on what you saw from Joe Milton. Are you ready for also sports talk radio fever to hit all week with Joe?
Well, first of all, I don't even listen to that stuff. But honestly, look, Joe went out there. We know he has a big arm. He has the athleticism. He's getting better with his reads every single day. He has natural leadership ability. But once again, it's not just about one game. It's about the full body of work. So you can come out here and play well, but you also have to do it on a day-to-day basis in practice. And you got to gain the confidence of not only the coaches but also your teammates. And this was a step forward for him.
Sophie Weller on the far right.
Hi, Jerod.
Hi.
I was just curious. Obviously, you said the plan was to do one drive for both Brissett and for May. What came down to the decision to pull Zappy when you did and to put Milton in when you did? Was there any thought process behind that?
Yeah, it was just about opportunity. It was about opportunity. And Zapp went out there. Look, he's won games in the NFL before. But then just putting Joe in at a time where we needed a spark, and he provided that spark, which I thought was good.
Duke Castiglione in the middle.
Jerod, what was it like for you first game as a head coach?
Yeah, you know, I just felt like I was just in my element. I felt great to be out there. Nothing else really mattered to me. And, you know, when you don't have to worry about substitutions and things like that, you kind of see the game from a different perspective, which I thought was great for me today. And it was the first time I really got a chance to, experience that. So hopefully it keeps going the same way. And, you know, we do a good job with the subs, with our assistant coaches, and I can kind of focus on the game in totality.
Were there any
fireflies? You know, it was more excitement. It's almost like, you know, when you get on a roller coaster and you just hear that click, like click, 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 and then you get to the top and it kind of is go time. I mean, at this point, you're so far along, we have nowhere else to go. So I wouldn't say butterflies, just excitement and pure joy, honestly.
Josh Brogadier.
Gerard, any players specifically that exceeded your expectations going into tonight, just the way they showed in the game?
Honestly, I need to go back and watch the film. The easy answer would be Joe. You know, Joe went out there and it's been a long, I don't think we've ever seen a quarterback here run around as much as he did and still was able to get the ball down the field. He's one of those guys, so it was Joe.
On your far right.
Gerard, over. All the way right.
Far right.
Keep going.
Sorry, hey. I didn't know they were over there. There's like empty chairs out here. All right.
I just wanted to, you know, it's kind of preseason for you guys on the coaching staff as well. First time out, I was just wondering how the communication and all that kind of went for, you know, AVP, DeMarcus, everybody.
Yeah, I would love to tell you that the communication was 100%, you know, on point, but there are definitely things that we need to work out. But for the most part, it was pretty clean.
Season, you mentioned, you talked about the progress that you'd seen Jeremiah Farms make over the course of his career in New England. What did you see from him tonight in terms of putting it together on the field?
Look, anytime he steps foot on the field, he takes advantage of that opportunity. You know, his story is remarkable. A guy just on the street, and, you know, he was here. We moved him to fullback. He played defensive tackle. He played guard, played all those positions. When you find a player that just loves the game of football, no matter what the coach asks him to do, it's a great player in my mind. And you know, Farms displays that.
Dakota Ring on your far right.
Gerard, after pairing Drake with the top offensive line tonight, do you anticipate giving him more time with the top line in practice this week?
I mean, look, the reps, I mean, that's something to talk, you know, to AVP about. At the same time, I would say this is a huge week for us against Philly. We'll see what happens in practice and then also in the game. But he's ready to go. When he's ready to go, we'll put him in.
Chris on the far left.
Gerard, you mentioned that that Joe's performance stood out tonight. Just curious, what role does, you know, preseason games versus, say, practice play and the and training camp play in the evaluation process, where you're trying to get a total view of how a player, whether it's a quarterback position or another position, can affect winning and make a squad?
Yeah, I mean, we always say there's nothing more important than practice. We continue to stress the importance of the process. Obviously, you would want that to show up on the field. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but practice is the number one thing for all of these guys as far as the evaluation. It's not only on the field during practice, but also in the classroom.
Hey, Gerard, just a quick question. I'm right over here.
I'm getting blinded. Oh, all right, here we go.
Hey, Gerard, just some quick thoughts on the defensive line. Thought they got after tonight, played with a lot of energy. What were your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, they played with a lot of energy. They're, you know, we were, I would say, as a whole, the most physical team on the field today. And it starts up front. It starts with the offensive line. It starts with the defensive line. I thought those guys performed well.
Final question, Dan Roach in the back.
Gerard, you talked about this being a big week with Philly coming in for the joint practice and the game. How will you use your joint practice with your ones and so forth going into this week?
I mean, look, we want to see what these guys can do. If it's ones versus ones, that's one thing. But you also need to see what your second string and third string can do against some of their good guys. So, you know, I'll talk to Coach Sirianni and we'll have a plan of what we want to see. I'm sure he wants to do some, you know, some things as well to evaluate his own team. And then, you know, the game is also very important. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks, guys.
All right, and there you have it, the complete words and questions, the Q&A following Gerard Mayo's first game as head coach of the New England Patriots, a game that technically didn't count. Andy, I did like this line that he delivered earlier. Actually, he sort of opened with it. This game, like we said all week, this game didn't count, but it matters. That's
yep.
That's a good line. That's a good approach. No one's going to remember who the champion of the preseason is. This is not the in-season tournament in the NBA, and as we know, that's thoroughly inconsequential as well, except for a little payola that you get at the end should your team be the champion of that. No one cares about the preseason except that you try to emerge from it healthy, that you forge a bond and identity and chemistry on your football team. You try to improve to get ready for the rigors of the almost 5 months of grueling contact collisions in sport that is the NFL season. But when you're a brand new team with a new defensive coordinator, a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator who hasn't called plays in you know, since Barack Obama was in office. Well, since Barack Obama had just taken office, I should say. Excuse me. So new quarterbacks, new receivers, new everything. The fact that the Patriots, sure, made some mistakes, but that there were some players that flashed and popped positively, that does matter. And that was it was nice to hear Mayo upbeat in his opening presser.
Yeah, and that resonated. David Andrews brought that up when he did his in-game interview on the WBZ broadcast with Steve Burton, that struck him, that mentality. Thing that stuck out to me was another Mayo slip-up when asked about, because he brought up the fact that he wanted to see Drake May with the ones, which everybody's been clamoring for, talking about when's it coming, it happened, he looked pretty good. And then he was asked if he wanted to keep doing that, and he kind of hemmed and hawed, talked to Van Pelt, and he said he's ready to go. When he's ready to go. I thought it was an interesting slip-up, because I think he means he's ready to go. I think he means he's ready to push the development and see where it is and be with the ones, maybe against the ones. And so this is a key week for him, and I think your head coach just slipped his way into telling us that he also feels that Drake May has been fine plus in his development.
Yeah, this is a huge, huge week for him as well. But I want to go back to one thing. It's a huge week for the football team to have a potential playoff team from last year, a team that could very well have Super Bowl aspirations again, depending on how their defense performs in the form of the Philadelphia Eagles for the joint practices on the 12th and the 13th in anticipation of the game next Thursday night at 7 o'clock at Gillette. Correct me if I'm wrong, and
I will.
You're never afraid of doing that. I know. But correct me if I'm wrong, but did some not chalk up some of the awkward, dare I say, janky play of the hesitations of Drake May this preseason and in training camp thus far to running with second and third offensive line units?
Yeah, I think some have. I don't know how much to make about that, because I don't know how much of a difference there is, especially at the tackle positions, between the second and first unit, because it depends on the day. Sometimes those guys are second, sometimes they're first. So
it's Calvin. It's like a mystery game. It's like the Masked Singer.
Right. And I actually and Gerard kind of tiptoed through the idea that we want to be able to protect him. We want to be able to protect everybody. He kind of started to say, yeah, because he made a clear divide basically tonight that there was one series for both Brissett and May, and then we wanted to see the Zappe and Milton show. He basically told you we have two guys that are vying for the starting job, and then we have two other guys, and there's a clear divide between the two, despite the way people may feel after watching this game and Joe Milton and all that, or the way people probably feel that Milton and Zappe are very different in their minds. You know, Mayo made it clear that May and Brissett, they're up here. The other two guys are down here, and it was time to get those other two guys out on the field after getting the first reps with the top guys. So I thought that differentiation was interesting. But, you know, I really did leave that press conference with Gerard Mayo feeling better about Drake May and the night and where his development and evolution is going this week. But this is, I mean, you can't get, other than them having like the 49ers coming to town this week, you can't get a more dramatic change from you played against the backups from, as you said, probably the worst team in football. And I do believe they're the worst team in football. I think they're worse than the Patriots. The only reason I'm picking the Patriots to win zero games potentially and Carolina to win one, or they play in a much worse division. I think they're going to have opportunities to maybe win games in the South, where you put the Panthers in the AFC East, and I'd be picking them to win zero football games. But you go from the Panthers.
Probably be a negative bet on FanDuel.
Right. You're going to go from the Panthers' backups. I believe the number I saw was 33 players didn't play for them, and it's like, they're not that good. Why are you resting all a bunch of bad players? Anyway, to the Eagles, one of the most talented all-around teams in football, and a team that's looking to prove something, had a really weird year a year ago, and their quarterback and head coach don't get along. This is a really interesting challenge for the defense. It's going to be an interesting challenge for Drake May to see a defense that has a really formidable defensive front. This is a critical week, but I would also say it's an opportunity. If you're Drake May and you go out there and you perform against that Eagles front, I think you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
And I think you may just be making some strides, because I've said all along, Andy, and we see your calls lining up at 617-779-7937 to talk about tonight's preseason game. And when I say tonight's preseason game, I mean Joe Milton. So we'll get to your Joe Milton calls in just a minute. And let
can
him
you
have
not
a night.
Do that?
This is
why,
what. The...
Why are you doing
what?
That? Why are you promoting the idiocy?
Andy, all what? The calls that are on the screener have Joe Milton as the subject. Well, I'm not promoting idiocy.
You started it with your damn tweet. I saw it. What did you write in your tweet?
Which one? I didn't overtweet tonight. It was like 7 or 8 total.
No, what was your tweet?
I jokingly called this evening's version of the Six Rings postgame show the first meeting of the Joe Milton Appreciation Society.
You can't do that. You know how they tell you don't joke about a bomb when you're in TSA? Don't do it. Don't joke about Joe Milton when we're in the Drake May development era.
The freaking team has his highlights wallpapered all over their Twix.
I can't control them. I can try to control you.
You cannot control me. I'm my own damn adult. Or at least I pretend to be sometimes. Look,
it's
fun. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
It's fun. It's fun crushing Drake May.
No, we're not crushing Drake May. We're giving Joe Milton his props. You're the one who said earlier in the program you think Joe Milton is going to be a problem for Drake May. If Drake May is developing appropriately, if Drake May is comfortable in his development and his confidence, and it's not rattled by the fact that the backup came in and had a nifty joystick play in Tecmo Bowl and then threw a touchdown against the 7th unit from the Panthers in the rain when no one cared with 5 minutes left in the 4th quarter, then that's a Drake May issue. The kid is going to be fine. It is fun for Joe Milton to have his night tonight. I want Joe Milton. He was the first quarterback up. He was smiling during his post-game presser. That's awesome for him. You know what else this also means? We don't have to worry about Bailey Zappe being the third stringer because the Patriots will probably be very happy to have seen the strides Joe Milton's made, or at least his physicality and his tools and skills on display. That's a beautiful thing. If it ever actually became a problem, it would be a good problem to have because that would mean the Patriots have possibly 2 starting caliber quarterbacks that are rookies. One of them is almost 25. The other one's 21. They don't right now. I will say this, and I kind of wanted to just sort of float this one your way as we go to break. I have said time and again, I am fine-ish, fine adjacent, in the neighborhood of fine with Jacoby Brissett starting the season because I don't want to see Drake May get killed. I don't want to see him mauled by a bad offensive line. I don't want to see that confidence and develop marred by a team that's not prepared. That said, I don't know if I really need to see Jacoby Brissett.
Well, Jacoby Brissett is still your starter, you know.
I know.
Now, I am starting.
I'm good.
I have trended upward. After last week, I admitted a little disappointment, basically the first 5 days of practice with Drake May. I think he's trended in the right direction. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think he's started to look more comfortable in his reads and in his throws. And I think he's hit a lot of guys in the hands that need to start catching the football more often. But I really like where he's trended the last week. And if he can keep that moving, I'm not eliminating him starting from day one. I really am not.
Can I tell you that I was borderline by 2 emotions I had on that first pass play of his first professional pass in a game that didn't count but mattered, in the words of his head coach. I was so proud that, A, he took the check down when it was available and there was a little bit of a scrum at the line and he couldn't see a receiver open as the pocket was breaking down. And 2, it was just nice to see Antonio Gibson make a play, but to just have a competent third down back who can scoot and scamper himself got the first down. I was like, yeah, I haven't seen that since James White was healthy. Boy, did I miss that. That was a nice play.
Absolutely.
I was very proud of both of them on that play. It was a great play.
You should be able to run a screen pass and pick up some yardage, and it's predictable. But sometimes if you're just decent, predictable can get you the first down. And sometimes, as we saw for years, if you get the first down, that sets a drive in motion, and you can build off of that, and he would have if Jalen Reagor had caught the damn ball. Damn it.
Well, it was wet out, yes.
I thought they were professionals, and I thought they were playing a game. I didn't know we were making excuses. What?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we're already in midseason form, and it's only August 8th. God love all of you, and God help us at the same time. 617-779-7937 is your number. We'll take your calls on all things Patriots and more when the Six Rings postgame show returns here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM WEEI.
Breaking down the game that was, this is the Six Rings postgame show. Here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Hey, Drake, just kind of on the emotions of taking the field for the first time. You mentioned you kind of took it all in. What was that like? Were there nerves? Was it some anxiety about, you know, wanting to make a first impression? How would you describe, you know, those moments for you when you first took the field?
Yeah, I think always a little nervous. You know, I think, you're not getting nervous. If you aren't nervous for something, I mean, it doesn't, you know, mean something to you. And that's, you know, how I look at it. So I think nerves are a good thing. And after you get that first snap, and, you know, the play, they blow the whistle at the end of the first play, you kind of settle in. So I think, you know, being out there, like I said, just running on the field, it's just a different feeling. It's hard to, you know, emulate that in practice. You know, it's nothing like that. So getting a chance and, you know, finally getting hit, I think I may have got touched, you know, for the first time on the third down, on the last third down, kind of got hit. So it kind of felt good to, you know, get a hit under my belt. And other than that, just, you know, fun to be out there with the guys and compete against somebody else.
Did I just hear Drake May say emulate? Wow. Well said, young man. Good job, Drake May. That was Patriots rookie quarterback Drake May in his postgame presser. Of course, he came out after Jerod Mayo and Joe Milton, who had himself a night, and we're thrilled for him. That's Drake May talking about the emotions of taking the field for the first time as a professional. Now, of course, he's had some training camp practices, and he's been a professional now since the Patriots took him third overall back at the end of April 2024 in the NFL draft. But even on a night, Andy, when the weather played a factor in the attendance, the energy in the crowd attending here, I'll say I don't know what the final attendance was. If I had to guess, 35,000, 37,000? Tops, maybe.
Yeah, probably something like that, similar to Bill Belichick.
A little over half. Like, did your son have tickets in advance, or did he decide today, like, hey, let's go to the game?
No, he. I got him for him yesterday, but last minute. I mean,
right? Sure.
Yeah.
Good dad.
Not hard.
So yeah, that's the thing. There were plenty of seats. I saw Christian Fourier's tweet before the game. Plenty of seats available. Come on down. Yeah. So anyway, on a night where the weather plays a factor, it's early in August, people may still be away, it's the first preseason game, it's never usually the sexiest as well. You know, Drake may get to get out there and get those emotions in check. He's got, like, that box has now officially been checked. Now he can say, hey, I've taken a snap in the NFL. Hey, I've seen what it's like at play speed. Again, lousy team, first and second unit defense for that lousy team, but that's a big moment for him. Now, back to what you said in the previous break, I think the fact that they have a possible playoff team and or Super Bowl contender from the NFC coming to town this week with a bad attitude and probably a lot to prove because they had such a disappointing second half of their 2023. They had dysfunction and issues with coach and quarterback. They've improved their defense. I think they're going to come in here with a chip on their shoulder. Could be the best thing in the world for the Patriots. Maybe for Joe Milton, maybe for Drake May. The team on the whole, a big old serving of humble pie, wit and whiz in the form of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little big of a jump, in my opinion. If you were honestly kind of planning out a progressive development of a team, of a young quarterback, mm-hmm. of a coach, mm-hmm. of a staff, to go from Carolina to Philly is probably a big jump. You'd probably like to have sort of a middling team in the middle there.
I'll take the Giants. Like, they play the Commanders last. It would have been nice to go Panthers, Commanders,
yeah.
then Eagles.
Flip those two, and I think it would have been a nice sort of progression towards regular season play and games that do count in the standings. But, you know, at some point you got to find out. You got to find out, does your line stink? You got to find out, is our defense good? I mean, there were a lot of dropped balls early. The Panthers were just dropping balls. Like, there was one that a guy deflected and then hit Gonzalez. But it should have been a catch. If you're a real NFL quarterback to a real NFL receiver, that's a catch in front of Gonzalez. So, you know, those, when you face, if you face Jalen Hurt, well, you're going to face Jalen Hurts on the practice field and A.J. Brown, and then maybe in preseason action, maybe not. Those are the challenges. You can't just count on the other team. I mean, the Panthers had, what, one first down
through three quarters. They were like 1 of 10, 1 of 11, something like that. They were, I mean, I thought it was Jake Plummer, and it's Jack. I don't even know who Jack Plummer is. He's probably going to be a plumber soon.
I got to be honest, who the hell is Jack Plummer?
He's going to be a plumber. He'll you'll call him soon to fix your pipes at some point.
Relative of John Sewer?
Yep. Circling the drain.
Jeez Louise. Hey, let's wrap up hour number one of tonight's Six Rings postgame show by going to the phone, 617-779-7937. David is in Auburn. He's hanging in there, our first caller tonight. How are you, David?
Hi, I got two things to say to you guys. One, right. Joe Millen is our guy. He's better than Drake. He's better than Jacoby. He's better than Bailey. Cut Bailey. Why is he even in there? And one thing for you, Andy. You're a short little twerp that nobody likes. And nobody likes you because you're a bad reporter. Nobody wants to hear your voice anymore. Screw you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm not laughing at you, Andy. There's no chance this guy just made this up a few minutes ago and called in. He's just been waiting. He's like, I'm going to call in and I'm going to give Andy Hart the business one of these nights.
I love our post-game shows for night games, preseason or regular season. There is nothing better.
I think we got three drops out of that one. So. That was great. That was something else. Well, hey, what a way to cap hour number one of the postgame show. Andy, when we come back, I would like to discuss, I don't know if it's necessarily a conundrum. Should we call it the Bailey Zappe issue? What should the Patriots do with Bailey Zappe going forward? Did he get his final showcase tonight? Does it do any good for the team to give him meaningful snaps in these precious preseason games, of which there are two left? I'd also like to ask you and the audience at large, what did we really learn tonight? Not just about certain players like Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or Marcellus Dial or Terrell Jennings, Wallace and all. What did we learn tonight about the way and how these Patriots may play this season? I want to ask those questions and more, plus your calls when we come back. Hour number two of the Six Rings postgame show following the Patriots' defeat of the Carolina Panthers in preseason game number one is coming up here on WEEI. Don't you go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
UEEI.
Breaking down the game that was, this is the Six Rings postgame show. Here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Hey, Drake, just kind of on the emotions of taking the field for the first time, you mentioned you kind of took it all in. What was that like? Were there nerves? Was it some anxiety about, you know, wanting to make a first impression? How would you describe, you know, those moments for you when you first took the field?
Yeah, I think I was a little nervous. You know, I think, you know, you're not getting nervous. If you aren't nervous for something, I mean, it doesn't, you know, mean something to you. And that's, you know, how I look at it. So I think nerves are a good thing. And after you get that first snap, and the, you know, the play, they blow the whistle at the end of the first play, you kind of settle in. So I think, you know, being out there, like I said, just running on the field, it's just a different feeling. It's hard to, you know, emulate that in practice. You know, it's nothing like that. So getting a chance and, you know, finally getting hit, I think I maybe got touched, you know, for the first time on the third down, on the last third down, kind of got hit. So it kind of felt good to get a hit under my belt. And other than that, just, you know, fun to be out there with the guys and compete against somebody else.
Did I just hear Drake May say emulate? Wow. Well said, young man. Good job, Drake May. That was Patriots rookie quarterback Drake May in his postgame presser. Of course, he came out after Jerod Mayo and Joe Milton, who had himself a night, and we're thrilled for him. That's Drake May talking about the emotions of taking the field for the first time as a professional. Now, of course, he's had some training camp practices, and he's been a professional now since the Patriots took him third overall back at the end of April 2024 in the NFL draft. But even on a night, Andy, when the weather played a factor in the attendance, the energy in the crowd attending here, I'll say I don't know what the final attendance was. If I had to guess, 35,000, 37? Tops, maybe.
Yeah, probably something like that, similar to Bill Belichick.
A little over half. Like, did your son have tickets in advance, or did he decide today, like, hey, let's go to the game?
No, he. I got him for him yesterday, but last minute. I mean,
right? Sure.
Yeah.
Good dad.
Not hard.
So yeah, that's the thing. There were plenty of seats. I saw Christian Fourier's tweet before the game. Plenty of seats available. Come on down. Yeah. So anyway, on a night where the weather plays a factor, it's early in August, people may still be away, it's the first preseason game, it's never usually the sexiest as well. You know, Drake may get to get out there and get those emotions in check. He's got, like, that box has now officially been checked. Now he can say, hey, I've taken a snap in the NFL. Hey, I've seen what it's like at play speed. Again, lousy team, first and second unit defense for that lousy team, but that's a big moment for him. Now, back to what you said in the previous break, I think the fact that they have a possible playoff team and or Super Bowl contender from the NFC coming to town this week with a bad attitude and probably a lot to prove because they had such a disappointing second half of their 2023. They had dysfunction and issues with coach and quarterback. They've improved their defense. I think they're going to come in here with a chip on their shoulder. Could be the best thing in the world for the Patriots. Maybe for Joe Milton, maybe for Drake May. The team on the whole, a big old serving of humble pie, wit and whiz in the form of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little big of a jump, in my opinion. If you were honestly kind of planning out a progressive development of a team, of a young quarterback, mm-hmm. of a coach, mm-hmm. of a staff, to go from Carolina to Philly is probably a big jump. You'd probably like to have sort of a middling team in the middle there.
I'll take the Giants. Like, they play the Commanders last. It would have been nice to go Panthers, Commanders,
yeah.
then Eagles.
Flip those two, and I think it would have been a nice sort of progression towards regular season play and games that do count in the standings. But, you know, at some point you got to find out. You got to find out, does your line stink? You got to find out, is our defense good? I mean, there were a lot of dropped balls early. The Panthers were just dropping balls. Like, there was one that a guy deflected and then hit Gonzalez. But it should have been a catch. If you're a real NFL quarterback to a real NFL receiver, that's a catch in front of Gonzalez. So, you know, those, when you face, if you face Jalen Hurts, well, you're going to face Jalen Hurts, minutes on the practice field and A.J. Brown, and then maybe in preseason action, maybe not. Those are the challenges. You can't just count on the other team. I mean, the Panthers had, what, one first down through three quarters? They were like 1 of 10, 1 of 11, something like that. They were, I mean, I thought it was Jake Plummer, and it's Jack. I don't even know who Jack Plummer is. He's probably going to be a plumber soon.
I got to be honest. Who the hell is Jack Plummer?
He's going to be a plumber. He'll you'll call him soon to fix your pipes at some point.
Relative of John Sewer?
Yep. Circling the drain.
Jeez Louise. Hey, let's wrap up hour number one of tonight's Six Rings postgame show by going to the phone, 617-779-7937. David is in Auburn. He's hanging in there, our first caller tonight. How are you, David?
Hi, I got two things to say to you guys. One, Joe Millen is our guy. He's better than Drake. He's better than Jacoby. He's better than Bailey. Cut Bailey. Why is he even in there? And one thing for you, Andy. You're a short little twerp that nobody likes. And nobody likes you because you're a bad reporter. Nobody wants to hear your voice anymore. Screw you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm not laughing at you, Andy. There's no chance this guy just made this up a few minutes ago and called in. He's just been waiting. He's like, I'm going to call in and I'm going to give Andy Hart the business one of these nights.
I love our post-game shows for night games, preseason or regular season. There is nothing better.
I think we got three drops out of that one. So. That was great. That was something else. Well, hey, what a way to cap our number one of the post-game show. Andy, when we come back, I would like to discuss, I don't know if it's necessarily a conundrum. Should we call it the Bailey Zappe issue? What should the Patriots do with Bailey Zappe going forward? Did he get his final showcase tonight? Does it do any good for the team to give him meaningful snaps in these precious preseason games, of which there are two left? I'd also like to ask you and the audience at large, what did we really learn tonight? Not just about certain players like Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or Marcellus Dial or Terrell Jennings, Wallace and all. What did we learn tonight about the way and how these Patriots may play this season? I want to ask those questions and more, plus your calls, when we come back. Hour number two of the Six Rings postgame show following the Patriots' defeat of the Carolina Panthers in preseason game number one is coming up here on WEEI. Don't you go anywhere.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.